Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Ayin Hey, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet on the base, the last word of Davin Mai. In our previous shiur, the Mishnah and the Gemara had discussed what is the right, or does the Yavam have a right to be made for the Nedarim of his Shemeres Yavam. And the Gemara had quoted the opinion of Ravami. Ravami said that the only time he would have such right, we learned, was in a case where Maimer was done. And since Maimer was done between the Yavam and this Shemeres Yavam, that creates a special bond between them. And since it creates a special bond between them, that is why that Yavam, at least according to Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Yeshua, are entitled to do Hafara. And the Gemara had said, we're going to learn a Braisa, which supports Ravami's opinion. And in our previous shiur, we learned a Braisa. And we begin today's shiur Mai with the words, how is that Braisa a Raya to Ravami's opinion? My Tanya Kavasa Rav Ami. How does that Braisa support the opinion of Ami? Says the Gemara, because the Braisa clearly says when the Braisa quotes the debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the Braisa said, Bench also Mam Ben Shalom also Mamr. So we see that Maimer is the consideration that the Braisa mentioned why the Yavam should be able to do the Afara. Inami, says the Gemara, another proof, says the Gemara, how we know that Maimer is the reason why the Yavam could do Maimer, the Yavam could do Afara. Inami mi Reisha. We could prove it from the Reisha of the Braisa, the Ktani, because at the beginning of the Braisa it says, Uma im Isha, Shein lechalik ba'at shlo tavel rishusoy. If a woman that the husband really has no connection to until he actually does erisin nigmerloi, mishnichnas l'rishus nigmerloi, but when she does get married to him, albeit with erisin, she does have the right to do afara. V'idalei kiddush, it was saying that it's not a situation where he did maimer, my mishnichnas l'rishus nigmerloi. How do we understand the words that the Braisa used? She isn't in his rishus. Just because she's a shameris yavam, that doesn't make her be in his rishus. It must be tifshemina that what is the braisa teaching us? That what is the case where Rabbi Elazar says the yavam has a right to do, the rabbim has a right to do hafara, kishos by maimer because he did maimer, which is exactly what Rav Ami said is the explanation of our Mishnah. The Braisa said a statement, and the Gemara wants to explain the statement. Mai ukvisha dvarim kein nedarim diktani. What is the definition when Rabbi Kiva speaks to Rabbi Yeshua? Ksha dvarim kein nedarim. There's some by other halacha, so is the halacha by nedarim. That is the proof that Rabbi Kiva says, how I know that a Yavam is not considered the husband of the Yavama. And since the Yavam is not considered the husband of the Yavama, that's why he does not have the right to do Hafara. Amar Rava, so Rava explains, Hachitani, Yatamoidim, Shein Chayavim Skila. As we mentioned in our Shiurim, when a woman is an Arusa, Midaraishi, she's considered an Eishes Ish. What do I mean when I say she's considered an Eishes Ish? That if her husband, that if she's Mezana Rachman Otzlan, she's Mechuyiv Skila. Yatamoydish Ein Chayav Skila Karusa, whereas if a Shemeres Yavam has relations with another man, there is no Chayiv Skila. So we see that the relationship between a Yavam and a Yavama is not the same as a Orus and Arusa. An Arusa, if Rachman Otzlan has an adulterous relationship, is chayiv skila. That is not the case by a yavama. Amar Ravashi Masnisin Namideka. If we pay careful attention to our Mishnah, we'll see that that's what Rabbi Akiva meant to say in defending his position in the Mishnah as well. Because Rabbi Akiva made a statement in the Mishnah, Ein Yavama Gemura L'Isha, Kshem Sharusel Gemura L'Isha. A Yavam is not considered married to her Yavam, the same way an Arusa and Aris are considered. And the reason is, because by Yavam and by Arusa and Aris, if she has an adulterous relationship, she's Chayiv Skila. That is a proof that they are indeed considered married, whereas by Yavam and Yavama, if she, Chas V'Shalom, has an adulterous relationship, she's not Chayiv Misa. That shows that they're not considered married. And in fact, I saw some Rishonim say that this last piece of Gemara is also meant to be a raya to Rav Ami's position. Because the whole point Rav Ami made was that why does the Yavam have a right to do hafara on his Yavam's nether? Because they have a relationship. Because he also agrees that without the Maimer, there really is no relationship. And that's what the Gemara means to say. That Rabbi Akiva holds, that everybody holds, that if there's no Maimer, the halacha doesn't really consider as if there's a relationship between the Yavam and Yavama. The difference of opinion between Rabbi Lezer versus Rabbi Akiva is that Rabbi Akiva says you need to have the strength of a relationship of an Aris and Arusa in order that they should be able to do a fara. Whereas Reb Lezer holds just the fact that they had Maimer is adequate to create that relationship. Says the Mishnah, if a husband says to his wife, the way most Rishonim explain this Mishnah is that this husband is about to travel and he's concerned, he's thinking about the nedarim that his wife is going to make while he isn't here. And he makes a statement. Call on nedarim shetidui mekan at she'ovam makom pleini. Any nedarim that you will express from when I leave until I come back, harei in kiyomim, they should already be considered confirmed. And by being considered confirmed, the halacha is that once they're considered confirmed, the halacha is that they can't be mufar, le'amaklum, the halacha is not. So the Ran points out, why does the Mishnah specifically say, kolan dorim she'tadurim mekan at she'avoy? Why doesn't the Mishnah just say, any nedarim that you make from here on in should be confirmed? Why is it connected to his travel? So the Ran explains, because the husband recognizes that the wife maybe is going to make a neder that he won't be satisfied with. The only issue is that he's not here. So what he means to say is as follows. As long as I am still here, so the nedarim will depend on me hearing the neder and determining if I'm satisfied with the nether or not satisfied with the nether. But once I leave, that isn't a possibility. And once he isn't here, since that isn't a possibility, that's why he says, I just want to automatically confirm. The Rishonim, in explaining this Mishnah, and we'll speak about this quite extensively in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, agree that, say, Rabbi Lezer agrees that you can't be mekayim a neder, you can't confirm a neder before the nedarim were expressed. The issue over here is that can you make this expression and can you make the statement that you'll say the hakama now, that the hakama should be valid after she expresses the neder? And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, a very big part of this understanding this is connected to do the halachas of hakama and hafara travel together. Because as the Rishonim explained, the chachamim are of the opinion, as we're going to learn their opinion in a moment, that how could you say with definitively, that you want this neder to be chal? Maybe had you heard the nether, you would say that this is neder that you don't want to have confirmed. And therefore, Chum say it can't be confirmed. The Rav Elazar disagrees. Harei Mefarim, if you make a statement, and that's why everybody agrees, Le'ama Klum, because you can't be certain that the neder is what you wanted. However, if you said that far up, Rav Elazar Mefar, it is. Chum Amrein Mefar, it isn't. We actually learned the other in our previous shurim on Daf Ayin Beis, the Gemara discussed if a husband can be made for a neder without even having heard it. So ask the Rishonim, according to the opinion that says that a husband can't be made for a neder without hearing it, how can we understand Rabbi Lez's opinion in our Mishnah that he says that the Mefarim before she even expressed the neder? So the Rishonim explained that this is the way Rabbi Lez is going to have to be understood. He's saying that any neder, according to the opinion that says that the husband can only be made for a neder if he hears it. What he says is that I am being made for all nedarim, but I understand that the afara should only be valid l'chesha eshme'im when I will actually hear the neder. So of course then the question is, so if he has to wait, even according to Rabbi Lezer, until the actual neder is said, so what is this purpose of this pre-hafara? So we show him again, quote the Gemara we learned on that fine base. This individual is concerned that when he hears the neder, he's teridna. He may be preoccupied with other things. And because he's preoccupied with other things, he won't remember to say that farah. That's why he says it now. Moreover, even though we're learning that the chum hold, you can't say a pre-hafara, a person can make a neder with a tanai. Even though the tanai wasn't yet, the stipulation wasn't yet able to be fulfilled, so maybe that neder should not be considered a neder. Explain to Rishonim that if the wife expresses a neder, and even though she connected the neder to a stipulation, even though that stipulation has not yet been fulfilled, nor it can yet be fulfilled, the halacha is that as soon as the neder is expressed, even the chacham agree that the husband can be made for the neder. Amar Blazer, and Rabbi Lezer, to support his opinion that says that afar could be stated even before the neder was stated, im hefen nedarim shabo l'chlal iser. If a neder which was already expressed and therefore has the strength of a neder can be nullified, so certainly certainly, he says, based on a kavachaymra, that based on this kavachaymra, hafar should certainly be able to work on another that wasn't effective. How do chachamim respond to the kavachaymra on this? So we said it a few moments ago, because the rabbanim connect the halach of hafara to the halach of hakama. And we began our Mishnah by learning that everybody agrees that a hakama could only be stated after the neder was expressed. So say the chachamim that hafara and hakama travel together, and if hakama could only be possible after the neder was expressed, so too will be the halacha on hafara. Amar lo, the chum say to Rabbi Lezer, Areyu oimer ishi kemena ishi kemenu. Eshebol chal hakeim, bol chal hafer, a neder that could have hakama could have hafara, but another which cannot have hakama, which means, as we stated at the beginning of the Mishnah, because it was another that was not yet expressed, loyba leklal hafer cannot have a fara either. Begins the Gemara, Bailuhu, le Rabbi Lezer, according to the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, who holds that you could be made for another even before they were expressed. Mechel chalen ubetelem. So the Gemara wants to understand, what are the mechanics of that? Do we say mechel chalim, that the neder becomes effective, ubetelim, and then they right away get nullified based on his hafara? Or dilma, or what he accomplishes according to Rabbi Lezer, is that lechalim klal. And the Rishonim debate, what does that mean? The first side of this question, a mechel chalim ubetelim, what does that mean? So the Ran says that even this opinion will hold that it's nullified immediately. But there are other Rishonim that say that no, it would not be considered immediately nullified. You would need to wait for the amount of time it says to say mufalacha. That's the amount of time that the nether would be in existence, and only afterward the nether would become, only afterwards would the nether become nullified. So the Karen Oira asks a question. According to the opinion that says that the nether is not chal at all, according to the opinion that says that the nether is not chal at all if you made this pre-hafara, so what would be the halacha where a person said expressly that I want the nether to become effective and then become immediately nullified? Do we say that if that's what I said, there's no question that's what I meant, and therefore it should be considered a possibility? Or is the first side that says mechachelim b'telim, says there is no halachic concept that it should be chal and then immediately be nullified? Could that, they hold, is really a totally meaningless statement? Says the Gemara, remind Nafkamina. What is Nafkamina? Says the Gemara, going to Atras Benidra. We've learned many times in our shiurim that one of the ways of expressing a nether or accepting a nether upon oneself is if I hear somebody make a nether, and then I say vani, I too should have that obligation. So now let's think this through. If we say that this nether was never a nether, so then when I say vani, it's not a meaningful statement because there was never a nether for me to hang on to. If however we say that the nether was chal, just becomes nullified, so then my vani has a meaningless statement. But the question that many Rishonim ask, that if I connect myself to something else, then we had a discussion earlier in the Masechet on Daf Yad Aleph, do we say be'ikra kamatfis? We spoke to you about a Karban Shlomim, where the Karban Shlomim ready now is after Zrikas Adam, and a Karban Shlomim after Zrikas Adam is really not considered a Karban. When we have a piece of meat that's a Karban Shlomim meat after the Zrika, and I say that this other food should be like that Karban Shlomim meat, do we say be'ikra kamatvis? Or do we say, and therefore it's considered something that's osur? Or do I look at it at the current status, and right now it's not a Shlomim? So the Rishonim ask, according to the opinion, that since right now this piece of Karban Shlomim meat is after the Zrik Saddam, and therefore, it's not a valid atfasa. Even they ask if the nether was a valid nether, just gets nullified immediately. How can nether be a good nether at this point? The person who made the nether, that nether is nullified. So the Rishonim differentiate between when you have a piece of shlomim meat after the zrik sadam, and I need to examine what do I mean versus where if the halacha was that there is a full-fledged nether. Just the question is, how long is that nether in existence? But I know for sure there's a full-fledged nether. And since I know there's a full-fledged nether, that fossa would be a valid atfasa, even if that original nether expires. E amrit, and the Gemara explains this up. E amrit, halen, havetfisasai, if we'll say that the nether cholin, that they become a nether, and then they afterwards get nullified, so we had a good nether, and therefore it would be a good expression of atfasa. E amrit, but if we're going to say like cholin, that it never was a nether in the first place, so loyeka mishasha, there was never a nether in the first place. Since there was never a nether in the first place, there is no room for atfasa. Mai, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, toshma. So the Gemara attempts to answer this question from the way Rebbe Lezer explained his opinion in our Mishnah. The Mishnah Amr Rebbe Lezer, Im Hof in the Dorim Shabal Chal Isser, if one has the ability to be made from the Dorim that already are in existence, La Yof in the Dorim, certainly shouldn't one have the ability to be made from the Dorim the Chal Chal Isser that never became active. But what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah used the words, Loibol Chal Isser. isn't loybal l'chlal issa clearly an indication that shmamino the loychalim that they never become a neder? Says the Gemara, miktanish einem bo. The Mishnah doesn't say she'enem boim that it never becomes a nether. Where the words of the Mishnah is shloi bo, that they a dying loy bo, but they didn't become yet a nether, but they will become a nether, and albeit become nullified immediately. So the wording of the Mishnah is not really clearly an indication to what opinion is correct. The halacha is that we learned earlier in our Masechta on Daf Chaf Gimel, and we actually do this every year. The Mishnah said, if somebody doesn't want that his Nadorim should remain valid, Yamid Rosh Hashanah should stand in Rosh Hashanah V'yomer, call Nadorim Shani Yosel Leidor, own Nadorim that I will express, Yei B'Talim. But that is only if he made the statement before he made the Nether. After he already expressed the Nether, he himself, the person who said the nether, cannot undo the nether. Because the Pasuk says, Lo yachal dvaroi, and the Gemara Masechta Chagiga Daf Yud Amud Aleph teaches us, Hu ein meichel, I cannot undo a nether that I made. Aval acherim meichem loy, others could undo that nether, as we've learned many times. That is the concept of a taras nedarim. So says the Gemara Tashma, Amalam Rebbe Lezer, Rabbi Lezer, in defending his opinion, says to the Chachamim, "Umaba makom she'ein meifin nidre etzma mishenadar." A person cannot undo a nether that he already expressed. However, meifin nidre etzma shloyadar, as we just said, you could undo a nether that you said before the nether is effective. Makom she'meifin nidre ishtoi mishetadar. So certainly, if one could be made for the dharm of his wife, even after she expressed the nether, ain't a din, she often nidra ishta shleitadar, that he should certainly be have the ability to be made for another of his wife prior to having sending it. My love doesn't, says the Gemara, how do we understand what Rabbi Lezer meant to say? My love, the ishtai dumya delay. We compare the case of hafara of his wife's nadarim to the way he could undo his nadarim. Mahu lochailin klal. What is the case that somebody made a statement that any nether that I made should be nullified? And as we learned quite extensively, as long as he doesn't remember that he made that statement, and now he makes a nether, the nether will automatically be null and void. Here too, when we're comparing his wife's situation to his situation, which is what Rebbe Lezer is doing, af ishtoi nami, the definition is that by you making this pre-hafara, what you mean to say is, lechailin klal, lechailin, that the nether shouldn't be at all a nether. Says the Gemara loy, that's not true. Ha kadisa ve kadisa. When it comes to his nedarim, it clearly means that he made this declaration that any nether I will make should not be valid. And as I said a moment ago, that he forgets that declaration, because if he would remember the declaration, then he wouldn't have made the nether. So that is only possible by my nedarim. So what the Ran is saying is the way to understand the Gemara. When I make a pre-declaration, or as we learned, we called it Mesiras Maidah, that my Nadarim should not be valid, it's only possible to have that in a case where that declaration was said because the Nether was not expressed yet. However, when we speak about a Nether that my wife makes, that Nether, one can be made for. And that's what the Torah actually talks about. The one can be made for a nether of a wife, even though she expressed it. So what the Gemara means to say is that a nether can only that I make, and that I make this Mesiras Maidah, by definition, is only doable if I make that precondition before the nether. Otherwise, this entire concept would not be understandable. Whereas when we speak about hafara, hafara could be done even after the nether was stated, and therefore what pushes us that the nether to say that the nether cannot be effective prior, that the hafara could also be effective prior to stating the neder. The Torah says, "V'negei b'nevosam yitma." If somebody touches a sheretz, he becomes tamei. And the halacha is a concept that's often spoken: toivel v'sheretz biyadai. If somebody's actually in the mikvah, and while he's in the mikvah, he touches a sheretz, the fact that he's actually in the mikvah doesn't prevent him from becoming tamei. That's one halacha. There's another halacha. The halacha is that if a person who is tar swallows a ring which is tamei, and he goes to the mikveh while that ring is in his body, the ring will not become tar. And therefore, if he expels that ring is still considered tamei. However, if a person swallows a ring, that and it's in his body, the halacha is that if a person swallows, for example, a tar ring, and he then enters into an oil mace, and we know that when a person enters into an oil mace, that's one of the highest level of tumah, the halacha is whatever is within his body doesn't become tameh. That's, as the Gemara Masechta Chulin, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis explains, that's called a tumah belua, and something with a tahara belua, and a tahara belua doesn't become tameh. Tashma, so the Gemara uses these halachas of tumah tahara to relate to our discussion, a machlokes of Rebbe Elazar and Chachamim, if somebody could do hafara before the neder, if somebody could do hafara before the neder was expressed. Tashma amaloi, the Chachamim say to Rebbe Elazar, "Oma mikvah shemales and tamei mitmasim." We know that how does a person become tamei, tahor, by going into the mikvah? Still, ain't Matzal al taharim l tamei. That means while you're in the mikvah, if you touch something tamei, you will become tamei. Toivel v'sheretz biyadai. So Adam shein malas tamei mitamasam. A person who by ingesting something tamei, a person who by ingesting the tamei ring doesn't make a tar. Enedin who shlo yatzal al taharim l tamei. So certainly the halacha ought to be that if I swallow a tar ring and then I walk into oil mais, the halacha is that it should still be able to become tamei. But that isn't the halacha. The halacha is that even though I prevent by swallowing something tar becoming tamei, it's the opposite of the mikvah. So we see that what happens prior, what happens after, don't really travel together. And that's why the Chacham say to Rebbe Elazar regarding Kalva Chomer, that you said if you have the ability to be made for neder that was already expressed, certainly you should be able to be made for neder that wasn't even said yet. Because we see that from tumah, it's different. That we see there's a difference between something happening before it happened versus after it happened. And before it happened, the halacha is you could save. And after it happened, you can't save it from being tameh. And therefore, that, and by mikveh, it's just the opposite. You will become tameh even though you're in the mikveh. Shema mina. But what this conversation proves, the Chum said that the Chum are comparing tumah to hafara. The Chum is saying preventing becoming tameh is considered similar to hafara before the neder. And by saving something from becoming tumah, what does it mean saving something from becoming tameh? It means that we don't want it to become tameh at all. So we see that the Chum, as they understand the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, what they're saying is that it doesn't become tameh at all. And therefore, we have a raya, suggests the Gemara, that with the Chacham's understanding of Rebbe Elazar, the Chacham's understanding of Rebbe Elazar involves them understanding that something, that a neder, if you say hafara helps before, it's not going to be a neder at all. There's actually a very interesting discussion. When somebody goes into the mikveh, when does it become tahor? Is it at the point that he is in the mikveh, or is it when he comes out of the mikveh? So the Kesef Mishnah says it's only when you come out of the mikveh. The problem with the Kesef Mishnah discussion is Al Gemara wanted to say that if a person's in the mikveh, still if he holds something tameh, he becomes tameh. So Certainly, when he's not in the mikveh, it should be that he becomes tamei, which is not true, because when he's not in the mikveh, still, if he had pre-digested, pre-swallowed a ring, it wouldn't be tamei. So we see from here that the person already becomes tamei, tahor, and that's the point Avni Mezer wants to make, that against the Kesef of Mishnah, that the tar of a mikveh is not at the point when he comes out of the mikveh, but the tar of the mikveh is actually at the point when he is in the mikveh. We know that Chazal compare going to the mikveh and Yom Kippur. Ma mikveh matar satameya, just like the mikveh is matar tameim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, matar es tameim. And that's what it says, Ashrechem Yisrael, lifnei gemar masechta yuma, lifnei mi matarim, matar eschem, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu matar es Yisrael. What do we see from here? What we see from here is that the Yom Kippur and the mikvah are the same. But we just learned that what does that mean when we say that the mikvah has the ability to be matara person? What we just learned is that the mikvah could only be matara person if the person is not holding something tamei. The person could be in the mikveh, but if he's holding something tamei, he will be tamei. What does that mean? So I saw that the Sefer Siach Yitzchak explains what that means to say is as follows. If somebody goes into the mikveh, but he's still holding something tamei, he is tamei. If somebody experiences a Yom Kippur, but he doesn't believe in Yom Kippur, he just says, it's Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur automatically is matar everyone, then he will not become tahar. He only can have tahara of Yom Kippur if he believes in Yom Kippur and relates to Yom Kippur. Without believing and relating to Yom Kippur, it's like toivel v'sheretz b'yodai. And just like toivel v'sheretz b'yodai is a meaningless tahara, so too, going into Yom Kippur and say, it's Yom Kippur, and I need not do more. I need not do tshuva. Yom Kippur will not be able to help that person.